For the last time, let's review our book of Philippians. On the back of your bulletin, I put an outline for you. What was the main topic of chapter 1? It was the joy of suffering. And then chapter 2 was another S word. It was the joy of serving. And then chapter 3, it was the joy of believing. Very good. And the fourth chapter that we're going to finish today is the joy in the Lord. So we finished the walk through the book of Philippians today. It's November 28th, 2010. We're going to cover Philippians 4, 14 through 23. And I titled it The Joy of Giving and Receiving. And does God enjoy giving and receiving? Is that something that brings joy to his heart? Do you enjoy giving and receiving? Do you like it? Whose idea was it, God's or man's, to do this giving thing? It was God's idea, wasn't it? God loves, God gives. We love, we give. That, very simply, that's what I want to say in the whole sermon. What makes money so magnetic and giving it away so stressful? This is one of my better questions that I came up with. Think about it. What is it about money that it's so magnetic? It just sticks to you. It's hard to get rid of. And why is it so stressful to give hilariously, abundantly, generously, like Mr. Chan's challenging us in Crazy Love? Have you ever thought about that? I think this is it. Does money measure our success and represent our security? Is that why it's hard to get rid of it? Is because that's the scorecard. How well you're doing. And it's your security, isn't it? If you rely on the world's way of thinking, then money's hard to give away, especially when Chan's talking like Jesus is talking about selling everything and giving it all away. Or as you read this week, when he sold his great big house and downsized to a smaller house so he could give more away, people, even in the church, think you're crazy. But that's really biblical. So here's point one on your outline. God meets our needs. Number one, God meets our need. It says in Philippians 4, 14 and 16, "It is good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of our acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need." So, how did the Philippians share in Paul's life, his travels and his troubles? They supported him financially, didn't they? How's the church at Kalita doing at our giving and receiving? You know, if Philippians is an ideal church of giving and receiving, how is the church at Kalita doing in that? Point two on your outline, God keeps an account. Account is your second blank. God keeps an account. It says in Philippians 4:17, "Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account." It's an accounting term. It's just like a direct deposit into your bank account, accredited to your account. "I've received full payment and even more. I have amply been supplied now that I've received the gift from Ephorodus. I put it in there. I practiced it all week and still blew it. He brought the gifts that you sent. So, when we give to those in need, is there a benefit to those who receive and to the giver? Does it work both ways? Having been on both ends of that giving and receiving, it's actually a lot more fun to be on the giving end when you really understand these things. Does God keep track of all of our personal and church giving? So, how's your account balance looking? How's your account balance looking? How's our church account looking? Do you think about these things? As I'm developing mission and budget for the year, working with the budget committee, and I want our church to have a good giving account. Here's point three on your outline. God gives to the giver. God gives to the giver. Giver is your third blank. Philippians 4, 19 and 20. They are a fragrant offering. The first thing he talks about is an offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs. So the second thing he talks about is God will meet your needs. According to his riches in Christ Jesus. To God the Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, Paul was talking about a thank offering here when he was talking about the offering. And in that day, even the Gentiles understood the giving and receiving and the offerings that took place at the temple. And a thank offering was a very special gift that you gave to God just because you were thankful. And it was a special deal on a special day that you and your family went and did. And that's what he was talking about with the Philippians. Now, here's a couple good questions. Can we trust God to meet all our needs? Can we trust God to meet all our needs? Can you agree with that intellectually? Can you agree with that theologically? Experientially may be a different thing. Whatever we need on earth, God will provide, right? Now, how about heaven? I found it easier to believe God will give me everything I need in heaven than on earth. Is that weird? It should be the same, but in my life it's easier to trust Him for heaven than it is now. But the trust has to be in Him, not in our money and our security and our success. Does that mean that we'll get all we want? God will meet all your needs. He'll give you all you need, but He may not give you all you want. But if we're trusting Christ, can we hope and believe that He will change our wants? So, if we realize our wants aren't in line with the Bible and the biblical truths, then we can ask Him and hope and believe that He'll change what we want to be what He wants. Does that make sense? So here's your last point. Point four, God greets with grace. God greets with grace. Grace is your third or your fourth blank, excuse me. And it goes on to say in the close of Philippians chapter 4, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send greetings, especially those belonging to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. That's the close of the book of the Philippians. Were the Roman Christians and the Philippian Christians brothers and sisters in Christ? Even though they weren't in the same locale, they were. So, how does that affect us today if you think like that? So, should we greet brothers and sisters in Christ with grace? Not just those who are united brethren in Christ, but other believers in Christ? Should we greet them with grace? Well, how should you greet unbelievers? Shouldn't we, generally speaking, greet everybody with grace? The grace, the unmerited favor that God gave us, we experience that and then radiate that to others. That would help me so much in my problems with judging if I just always gave grace. So, can you think of a better gift for the Thanksgiving Christmas season than the gift of the grace of God? That's what would be a good gift on Thanksgiving. That'd be a good gift on Christmas too, wouldn't it? To give relationally the grace of God. So, my conclusions are, first, Paul learned the true secret of joy, peace, by imitating Christ, loving and serving others. And he did it in a Roman prison. Then I could do that in my situation too. Could you? Could you learn what he's taught us here in Philippians? I heard folks saying that they're today in church that they're looking at things from a more positive attitude, like we studied in Philippians last week. Whatever's good, whatever's pure, whatever's right, whatever's holy, all the good stuff, that's what you think of. Even coming into the Christmas season, not get all tangled up in the negative materialism of it, but think on the good things. Could we learn that too? Secondly, if we focus our mind on Christ, we could learn unity, humility, joy, peace. We also could be motivated to love Him and others and to live for Him. But it's a what He taught us in Philippians, it's a mind thing. You think and you learn. God has designed us as humans to think with our mind and to learn new things. We could learn these patterns in Philippians, couldn't we? And finally, we can live confidently for God because we have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ within us. So we can live in confidence because God gave us grace. We can be confident that He will continue to do that and as we live this out with others. So, pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank You for having the Apostle Paul write the book to the church in Philippi. Thank You for what it's enlightened us with. Lead us and guide us in paths to where we will appropriate this more in our lives. Like Jesus, like Your little brother James said, be doers of this word, not just hearers. And not forgetting what it looks like, but remembering it. So, Father, as we move into this day, this week, this new holiday season, we do it with thankful hearts, but we do it with needy hearts. We need You. I pray if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that hasn't ever received You, Lord Jesus, as Savior and as Lord in their life, that Your Spirit would move on them to make a confession that this grace that You've given us, the faith that You've given us, we would accept Your atoning work by prayer, through faith. We would be forgiven. We would be embracing of You. And we would tell others about that. So we thank You so much for what You've done, Lord. Everything comes from You, and we worship You today with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.